I want to welcome everyone who used to listen to the We Strive podcast. We are now called Building Fires, as you can tell. I'm Corey McCain. I'm Corey McCain, CEO and founder of We Strive, and my new partner in crime here,
Farhaj Mayan, the CEO of Canna.
Canna, boom. So each week, Farhaj and I are going to bring you interesting people from around the world. We're talking celebrities. We're talking tech founders. Who else are we talking about, Farhaj?
Artists, nonprofit founders, musicians, all kinds of people who have the hustle in their life and took their life's goals to the next stage.
Okay. Did you write that down? Was that?
No, honestly, it just came out, bro. Honestly, it just came out because I want to meet these people. It's not just startup dweebs. We need to get out of our circle, man.
I know, dude. A bunch of nerds.
Nerds.
No offense to us.
Roasting our own selves. Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, we're excited to bring each episode to you. We got some really cool people lined up for this season. And be sure to subscribe. Tune in every Monday. And we'll see you on the flippity flop. Is that what we're closing with?
All right. In honor of Matthew McConaughey. That's it. Building Fires podcast.
Boom. Terrible ending. Love it. All right. So, Farhaj, thank you for bringing Herbod onto our podcast. He was awesome. Yeah, that's all I have to say.
It was so great. You know, he definitely passes the vibe check, one of my closest buddies. And yeah. I think it's, you know, we had a very raw and honest conversation about a lot of things going on. Also, just hearing about his past and, you know, coming to America for the first time and going on his journey is so inspiring.
No, absolutely. And I mean, I didn't know he had so many startups, and he's raised over $1 million, just so everyone knows. He's got this incredible company called Surfboard, and basically it's not going to replace anything. It's going to become like the first of its kind, where what I use to replace what he's doing now, I literally will go on Instagram, go to a city or like a bar, and like go to their story and see if anyone's posted to see if it's busy. And he's going to basically replace that, where it's going to be instant and I'll know like what's happening in my city and in my like neighborhood and all that stuff. It's going to be so amazing. So
yeah, and I think like the video based, you know, integrations into the whole idea is really exciting too. It's good. I think there's the opportunity, you know, really big upside for it to be the next big exciting social platform, especially since it revolves around like dense cities where there are popular colleges. So I'm excited.
This is Herbod, and I'm not going to make a joke, and here we go.
You're listening to Building Fires podcast.
Yeah, it's amazing, dude. You don't have to download anything. It's totally free. They're adding a video thing soon.
The video thing really looks cool. Lit.
Yeah, I think I'm supposed to pay for it, and I just like have never paid for it, and then it just still always works, and I'm just like, all right.
You got that early customer hack, dude. Yeah, just like, it was not even there. You know,
like with Canva, I've been using Canva for like 3 years. I just paid for Canva.
Wow. Yeah, like literally no one pays for it. They keep raising millions and billions. I'm like, is this company valued at $6 billion? I don't think they're valued at $6 billion, to be honest.
Dude, I think they started to sell into the enterprise because, like, you know, you're generating, like, it's like that bottoms up approach, like software companies that sell to developers first and then developers pitch the CTO type stuff.
Yeah, they're definitely following that path for sure. Yeah, for sure. I mean, you have to show them something to keep raising this big amounts for
sure. Yeah, and it's crazy, dude, because I've met so many people who've been designing their decks on Canva, their Facebook marketing, their Instagram marketing. Like,
yeah. Bro, I do everything on Canva. Yeah. I love it. And the best part about
Canva. No way. I'm on Figma. I do everything on Figma.
Exactly, I bro. I'm a Figma stan right here.
Yeah, for real.
I use Figma too, but like, I'm not like, I'm a really good designer, but like, not.
I don't know about that.
Not like in the Figma way. I'm like, I need the shapes already there, and then I can like build off of that. Like,
I know. Yeah. Figma takes a lot of your time to design, though. Like, just think about how much time you spend on efficiency just in designing all these things. I get exactly what you're saying. Versus Canva is already there, ready to go.
No, exactly. And I mainly use Canva to create PNG images like automatically. You don't even have to upload them anymore. You can literally, because I do everything in Keynote. And I just copy whatever I built in Keynote, and you can just paste it into Canva and then download PNG, and then it'll have no background. It's like, it saves me so much time. I'm sure you could just do that in Illustrator or whatever, but I don't know how to do any of that crap.
So yeah, those are so complicated. Like Illustrator,
I used to do Illustrator a lot. It's a lot of work. You have to learn. Exactly. There's a big learning curve.
Oh yeah, that is insane. You literally, everything on Illustration, you have to build it based on the way it's designed, but like cubes, circles, like triangle, and you turn them into a shape. It's insane. It's very complicated.
Exactly. Like when I first started building like decks and stuff, I would use just PowerPoint. And then I slowly, like my buddy showed me Keynote, and now I'll do some designs on Keynote that people will use that I've given them for like their business. And I'm like all in Keynote. So I'm like, if I just learn how to do, what is it? Illustrator? I don't even know what.
It's Illustrator. There's Illustrator in Photoshop, but yeah.
Yeah.
I used to actually design all of our app mockups for Fade, like only on Illustrator, dude. It
no way. That would actually take you so much time. I know. Yeah. That's why they're slowly dying. For real, that's why Adobe is like dying out of competition, pressure on competition because of all these.
XD is kind of cool though. It's like
XD is cool. XD is clean. XD is extremely. XD is cool for like websites. I don't know about apps, but like Figma is definitely killing all of them for sure.
Yeah, I'm excited about Figma.
Yeah.
What's funny is I actually read their founder's Teal Fellow application.
Yeah.
And it was pretty eccentric. I was a fan.
It
he
is.
Has this very long essay about why he absolutely hates chocolate.
Damn, that's random. That's random. He wrote these thesis on why I believe chocolate is shit. It's not good.
Contrarian as fuck, man.
That's insane. Actually, what is he going to set Figma apart is the extension. Like allowing other developers to come in and create their own platform on Figma. That's genius. That's very really genius.
Also, like the online collaborative piece, you know, the web app, and it was insane. Different as soon as they started off. I mean, now I see the future.
It is. It's amazing. I love it so much.
Yeah. And this podcast is actually sponsored by Figma. If you want to go to Figma.com.
Get 50 points for that. I like that.
Boom, dude. 50 That's points to Gryffindor.
For real.
Corey. Oh, go ahead.
I have a few questions for you. I looked at your website, VStrive. I really like what you're doing.
Is that your question?
No, I'm saying that's a statement. Thank you. Because I used to sell personal package training for Gold's Gym, LA Fitness, and all. Yeah, so I know there's no software in that industry. Like literally, they're using softwares designed in like 2008 and 2009. And when I saw your website, dude, you're gonna kill that industry for sure. You're gonna overtake it to the next level.
I appreciate that, man. Dude, you have no like. That's what I'm trying to tell investors because like our sales are pretty low and it's like I was just telling Farhaj before we hopped on, like we're missing a couple of small features that are very important and like we can make those in the next couple of months. And then after that, it's going to be like, look, everything else sucks.
It definitely is. I know exactly. Those softwares are so cringe. They're so old. Like, oh my gosh.
The one thing I can say is VStrive user experience is very impressive.
It is. I love it. It's all nowadays is all about product. Like experience your product offers. Like switching software. So if you have that as the core mission of the product, you're gonna definitely win 100%.
I appreciate that, man. Yeah, we're chugging along. So I'm glad you understand how crap. And not only that, I can go on a tangent about how crappy the gym software is too.
But it is.
We won't. That's a whole other podcast. But
yeah, it is because like what they do is they, for example, like LA Fitness tries to build their own, and then let's say another gym tries to build their own, and that's not the right way. Yeah, it's so bad. It's so bad. So old. The CRM is horrible. I'm not even talking about the way they manage the CRM and keeping track with the leads and all. It's just insane. It's very bad.
No, the entire thing's terrible. And I can just keep talking. So I'm going to stop right there. It's going to be like a 30-minute thing of just so let's get the ball rolling on the podcast. I'm going to be honest with you. I asked Farhaj 85 times. He did not write the questions for this episode.
So that's okay. I mean, honestly, it's going well so far. So,
but we're going to freestyle though. So before Farhaj was talking to you and he was like, yeah, man, we want to make this a free conversation. And I was like, that's because your ass didn't write the questions.
Dude, I don't have time. I mean, honestly, I do, but I make myself unnecessarily busy.
That's the way to do it.
He's like, this week we're just going to like keep it open. I'm like, yeah, because you didn't do the one thing you had to do.
You're right.
All right.
So, I mean, hey, that's the way to do it. Go ahead.
I was going to say, so first off, can you just tell us who you are and what you do? Because I'm curious.
For sure.
Oh, no.
Hey, everyone. So my name is Herbat Bigman. I'm the founder and CEO of Surfboard. That's my tagline. That's what I go by.
So tell us a little bit about Surfboard, because I went to the wrong surfboard at first, and then I was like, is this his app? This is gross. And then he's like, no, this is, and I was like, oh, got it. Cool.
Yeah.
So can you describe what it is? Because I was trying to like create some analogies or metaphors, whatever that freaking word is, to figure out, like, it's the blank of blank. And it seemed like a lot of different cool things. So yeah, give us the rundown on how it works.
For sure. So let me tell you like how I got into entrepreneurship, and I'll be back on surfboard, and I'm going to tell you what a problem surfboard solves. And then that solves everything. So I moved to the United States 10 years ago. When I came to US, I couldn't speak any language. I literally couldn't speak English at all. Like, only knew Farsi. I'm originally from Iran. So, and that was it. So I went to high school here. I had to learn in a hard journey. Graduated high school, moved in college. And my freshman year of college, I got involved with startups. I founded my first startup a year after I joined the startup called InJam. That flopped so fast, like we didn't do good in it. But I learned so much from it though. What InJam was, the first startup I joined, it was a social media / music sharing app. So you would share what song you're listening to in what location. It was so early for its time. Now Spotify slowly going to the social pass. That was way too early. This is like 2015.
They just launched this app called Road Trip that I'm on test flight for, like messing around with it. It's exactly that. And
you see, we were so early for it. Way too early. We knew we were too early because like back then social media, people weren't exposed to posting so much about social media. So but now it's just like it's a whole different world. Everyone uses cameras to communicate. It's so different. Yep. This past 5 years, people exposure to social media increased insanely higher.
And I think to put in perspective, that was like that was 2 years before that crappy Snapchat update, which is like how I base my life on for timelines. And then, AKA, like that was 2 years before Instagram stories were really a thing. So that
it is. This is so early. I'm talking about like iPhone 4. We remember like us designing products like iPhone 4S. Like that was a thing. The screens were so small. You couldn't do that much. Even doesn't matter how much the high quality image you exported through the app, like it's still brought the quality down. It was just so bad, like so early to try all these beautiful products. And back then technology
freshman
was
year too, huh?
Yeah, super young. That's back then, believe it or not, Corey and Farhaj, I have never heard the word of a startup means. So when people told me startup, I'm like, what does that even mean? So I went there and Googled and I'm like, wow, that's actually a word. Like startups are a thing actually. So funny thing about InJam is the people my co-founders I was working with, they were so mean, and like they were like their head was definitely in the wrong place. They thought they knew so much. They were like so cocky, and I didn't like the way they were, to be honest. So I left them, and after I left them, the whole InJam failed, and everyone, there was four of us, so I left and the rest just like failed. So funny fact is those three guys didn't pursue startups, and I was the only one who actually pursued. I was like, this is so fun. I love building products, designing all this fun stuff in the application. So I'm going to definitely keep going. So the next startup I founded was called Glassbar. Actually, Netflix made a show about that show, actually, about that application.
Are you serious?
Yeah, for real. Yeah, my first actual startup.
Wait. Netflix made a show about.
No, it made an episode. It made an episode about that.
In Black Mirror.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, in the Black Mirror. Yeah.
Wait. Okay. That's even cooler. Wait. Which episode?
So, season 3, episode 1. So, what Glassbar was, I built this app. It would allow you to rate your friends. So, Corey, we are talking, right? I just met you. So I would go on Glassbar and rate you 1 to 5. That was a whole application. Literally super simple app. You would just look up your friends, write them a review. We got this slogan, Yelp for people.
Herbot, dude, I'd give you a 5 and I'd give Corey a 2. You know, I mean, TBH.
Oh, damn, bro.
Yeah. Seriously, though. I don't care about your joke. I'm more like, I love that episode, dude.
Yeah, it was. I mean, Netflix took it to the whole level. Though.
That was like, really dark, honestly.
It's so dark. Yeah. It is so dystopia. Like, literally, like, that ruined it for all of us. After I saw that episode, I'm like, no, we don't even want to work on this. Like, I effed up. Like, this is so bad. I'm hopping on to the next startup. So that was the whole journey. I worked on Glassbar for like 7 months, launched the app in iOS. It did really good, and then Netflix ruined it.
Wow. Dude, that's so great. I'm posting a story venting about how cool that is right now. So just talk to Farhaj for a sec.
For sure. let me tell you about the second startup I founded. This is even cooler. So okay. After Glassball, I was working on Challenge In. Challenge In was an app that you would challenge your friends. So for example, like Farhaj, I want to challenge you to chug your beer. So you would record yourself. So Challenge In was all video based. Literally in 2016, I was working on what TikTok is literally right now. The way it was formatted, the way the challenges were, you literally the categories, literally like I have the screenshots of the app, literally look like TikTok it is right now. That one too early for its time, and we didn't have enough experience and knowledge to scale it as much as TikTok did. So that one flopped as well. I worked on Challenge In for like almost a year, and that flopped as well.
You know what's crazy is my co-founder for Canna now, Vu, was actually working on Craterland, which was, you know, a marketplace for like local video content creators.
Yes.
And they had like challenges and tasks and this whole universe built inside of it too. But yeah, I think it's one of the hardest things to do when you're building a consumer social platform like that, especially when it's like video oriented, is first getting the ignition, right, with your users, and then second, distribution enough to where it becomes extremely viable. And yeah, it's weird. I've been following some cool people on Twitter, like Nikita Beer and stuff, and talk about it pretty regularly. But it's a whole different ballgame.
It's very hard. It's very difficult to especially in social medias, like people's expectation is so high. I always talk about this. For example, like you go on Snapchat, you go on TikTok, you see all these filters, right? People don't know how much developer cost there is involved to bring this augmented reality features in it, or like make your app look stunning or shining. People don't know this. So consumers get all these features for free. They don't have to pay $0 for it. And it's always going to be free. Fast. So the expectation keeps coming up and up and up. So it makes it extremely harder for new entries to come in and to compete with these people. So you have to be extremely clever, and you only have one shot. Or if you don't do well,
I'm testing it for a friend, you know, who I met through the Twitterverse again. But yeah, it's pretty cool. It's called Riff. And essentially what they do is like you can pull up a video or like a picture, or like if somebody tweets a hot take, I can have that as my background and just speak over it. And then send as a voice/video message to people, you know? And
that's very cool.
Yeah, I'm planning on messing around with it. And I was thinking of applications the other day. And one idea that I had is like, you know, I've been catching up with a lot of friends back home from Dubai. And, you know, we've been reminiscing about old times. And we try to bring up these like videos and pictures. And, you know, we're like, I feel like it would be so much fun to just voice over them and share our thoughts and banter, you know?
Oh, yeah. Even Farhaj, speaking of voice and audio right now, like all these apps like coming up with voice features. Yeah. Even there were so many voice apps back in 2013-14 launched. They were literally all doing the same thing, and none of them took off. They got founded well, they're in advertised well, but that also was too early for his time. What also
raised 10 million at 100?
Yeah, that one is just like that's those things really ruins the whole startup for VCs and for founders too, because like there is no reason why that company raised that much.
Honestly, you know, this is where I come in with my rebuttal. I think it makes sense. You know,
you could make that. Okay, so let's say for example, building the app like Clubhouse is literally gonna take me 3 weeks to build one. Like maybe not that pretty UI, but like functionality, getting it done. Yeah. Is that value that $10 million or like $100 million?
It's not about the product. It's about two things, right? How they've created an environment where serendipity is encouraged and people actually receive value from conversations that would not happen before. And then second, I think, is their distribution play, right? Starting with test flight, making extremely exclusive, getting a lot of people who have extremely engaging conversations. Like the future of social, like especially the amount of time that people spend on these apps, is a huge indicator of how big it could be. But either way, you know, I think the founder has the chops. He's built a social company before, I believe. He raised like all the way up to a Series A. You know, I think it's a good bet, and I think it's pretty promising. Even if it fails, the upside is so large that it's worth it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, especially like because the moment you get all these massive VCs to come in and you, it's very hard for you to fail. But also QB failed with like $2 billion funding. So really having funding doesn't, is not guaranteed.
Yeah, that's true. Quibi took a dive.
Do you know why they failed so bad? Because of the people running behind it. Like literally, how are you going to hire 70 years old to run a social media / content delivery? It's not going to work. I'm sorry, but this is not 1950s or 60s anymore. Like psychology change, humans' behavior change, purchasing power changes. Like how are you going to get a 70 years old to run a content delivery platform? I have no clue on
that. Very true. Well, this is a really great segue into our next part of the conversation, which is what happened next after your last startup, man?
Oh, I just wanted to clarify. For sure. I posted like 20 minutes ago and I've been like waiting to talk, but you guys were doing a great banner. Yeah. And then I realized I didn't have my FaceTime up with Farhaj, so he couldn't see me. So he probably assumed that I was just still posting something on Instagram. But yeah, I've been here. I just didn't know how to like
interact. No worries. No worries.
That was great. I just wanted to say, I didn't know Clubhouse is like a sauna basically, but like better. Is it like
That's an other Clubhouse. That's like project management.
No, that's a whole different year. I saw a meme about that too.
Okay, because I knew that there was two different things, but then I thought maybe like it, I don't even know what I thought, but I'm so the one that isn't the project management tool raised 10 million at 100.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wait, what is it?
It's nothing, bro. Yeah. I mean, apparently Farhaj is going for it. So, hey,
yeah, but it's like a platform where it's like you can be in a room listening to a panel, right? For example, if Oprah wanted to talk to Balaji about blockchain, they can get multiple people to lead a discussion. And then you as a visitor in the room can listen to that conversation and ask questions. And it's really cool. So they have people talking about everything from like diversity and inclusion and startups to, you know, the crazy topics. And
we just like topic rooms. Literally, you could join any topic rooms. I haven't gotten the beta yet, but like, yeah, it's just like a topic room.
Okay, you know, we'll sort this battle on Clubhouse. And what I'll do is I'll get us both invites.
I love it. And then decide
whether or not the platform has its potential.
All right, sounds like a plan.
All right, deal. All right, what were we talking about?
Yeah, so you were working on that startup, and then, you know, how did that transition into Surfboarder? Was there another startup in between?
Honestly, I like literally about me and you, like literally you see some people doing something, you want to get involved. So during all this, okay, so these startups, I founded it personally. So I was like the founder and CEO by myself. But like I advised a bunch of startup next to it. So I love giving back to community, especially giving back to the foreign entrepreneurs. Like that's my thing. Because like it's very hard to come in as a foreign in this country and actually be successful. Like it's very hard for me. It's very touching for me to touch it. But like really the ones you see coming to US, being successful and doing something big with their life, they're really the outliers one. But like average one, they are shy. They're not going to get out of their comfort zone to go out there and reach their higher potential. And that's, I don't like to see that because like we all equal and there's only one race and it's all human race. So that's what I like to give back to those.
That's fast.
So it is that. But like beside that, I used to do. And so let me tell you how Surfboard came in picture. And this is the story of how I found the Surfboard. So after challenging, after challenging failed, like I was going through so much thing personally. I'm like looking back, I'm like, goddamn, like how did I fail at this too? The first startup I participated, I failed. The second one, it didn't do good. The third one challenging didn't do good. So I was just like questioning everything. Why am I not going through this? So believe it or not, I got this interview with this VC in Silicon Valley. His name was Felix, super fun guy. He's actually in India right now. The funny thing is, this man brought so much money in US, but his H-1B didn't got approved, so he had to go back, poor man. But yeah, he was so sad. Like, I'm going to send this to him. I know. Dude, like, made millions here, but he had to go back because of
this. See, this is the thing, you know? This is literally what everybody's talking about, is there are so many immigrant entrepreneurs who come through H-1B, you know, process. They get their STEM OPT after they graduate from school and actually want to create jobs and create really large companies and give back to the country that gave them the chance in the first place. And it just fucking sucks that it's so hard to stay.
Yeah, it sucks. It definitely sucks. He would have done amazing. He would have created 1,000 jobs. Like, the companies he invested in, he would have created 1,000 jobs. Like, he would have done amazing. Like, that's a person. That's a person you definitely want to cherry pick and not get it out of the scope. Anyway, so I went to him and I told him about my life. I was like, hey, I came into US like back then, 5 years ago. I've been working hard. If US is all about working hard, trust me, I've been grinding. And he told me this, and he definitely that day literally changed my whole life. And he told me, Herbert, look, you have to go and find problems. Like, if you don't go out there and solve problems, like, unfortunately, you may not hit it. You might get lucky by building a clone and making the clone look better, but like, you gotta go out there and solve problems. Go find problems you are passionate about and solve it. So definitely, like, that statement, that short sentence literally got tattooed in my mind. Like, I would never forget that. So I hear that, I come back to college. I went to UTD, actually. I studied finance. So I'm sitting in my dorm. This is 6 months after I had that meeting. I'm sitting in my dorm that day, just like bored, having nothing to do. That same day, the week after it, I found out President of Mexico, Vincent Fox, came to my college and I missed it. And something about me personally, I love politics. I follow up with politicians all around the world. It's a big passion of mine. Yeah. And I'm like, what in the world? This man was like 100 feet away from me. How did I miss this? Like, what could have potentially caused this? I'm very involved in community. I'm very involved in my college. If anything happens, I would probably hear about it. But I missed this. So I questioned things. I'm like, do we really know what's going on around us? Like, if I'm sitting here, I'm in Dallas right now, how would I know what's going on in downtown Dallas? And we don't have any application to do that. So that integrates the idea of Surfboard, a social media app that shows you what's going on around you. Doesn't matter where you go. Let's say I want to go to New York right now. I hop out of airplane. What's happening around me, 15 miles radius? Let's say I'm in Texas, or let's say I'm in Oklahoma. I want to know what's going on around me, 15 miles. So what Surfboard is a geolocation app that shows you what's happening around you. And our solution to this is very interesting, because there are so many ways to tell people to, or to announce people what's happening around you. For example, like, you could do it in a text base, like a tweet base. Hey guys, I'm in downtown Dallas and this bar has a party, come in. Or you could take a picture of it. And just having that crazy passion for a product and building Twitter social media apps before, I was like, what about if you could like record it? Record what's going on, post it to the app, and let everyone nearby who has the app to see that specific video. So that was the idea of Surfboard. And we launched the MVP of this a year and a half ago. We got a lot of traction without even spending a dollar in marketing. So we got 5,000 organic downloads on it. And now we are about to launch our version 2. It's so much better. It has a lot more features in it. The color is different. I actually sent a beta to Farhaj. Did you get a chance to see it?
Yeah, dude. I don't know if you saw, but I upvoted a lot of your cool posts.
Oh, and nice. How do you like it? How do you like the transition from V1 to V2?
The UX is really good. I thought the self-populating events was really interesting, because I actually saw some local events, you know, happening here. And I was like, yes. I never found out about it otherwise.
Yeah.
But you know, Corey, like, do you know, Wenatchee, how easy is it for you to find good stuff to do there?
There we go.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Oh, sorry. I was talking into nothing. With all due respect, even if this app existed in Wenatchee, it wouldn't find any cool events. Because there's nothing going on in my hometown. But
oh, you'd be amazed, man. Like, literally, we pulled events and everything from so many places. Also, the thing is, we were working on event discovery, showing you the coolest event using AIs and all these cool technologies to finding your interests and showing you similar events with the interests you are in. But thanks to COVID, it changed the whole Surfboard platform. So we're actually doing a small pivot right now. Instead of us showing you events, we're planning to add gaming, so you could play games with people nearby. So we are designing we're designing those games right now, and we're gonna launch them very, very soon.
I want to vent on how cool your idea is and some case studies of why I think it's gonna be awesome. But is the gaming thing gonna be kind of similar to like what House Party 2, but that Farhaj, what was that app you and I were using for a minute that we both deleted?
Yeah, are you talking about the one where we played games together and like saw
like Risk and like that crap? And
are you talking about Bunch?
Yeah, Bunch. Yeah, 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 that's yeah. the one.
Yeah,
we kind of, okay, so the games they have, they are very dynamic games. Like, they are actually game. What are we planning to do? We plan to add social games. Our app is a social media app, and we know people wanting to come to Surfboard, they're not going to come to play games. So what we want to do is we want to add social games to it. For example, we're going to show you two celebrities' picture. We're calling that game Smash or Pass. We're going to show you two celebrities' picture. You're going to say which one you're going to smash, which one you're going to pass. So these games are very social interactive. So it's more on the people who are video chatting and playing games together and less about the games itself.
Well, cool. So what I wanted to say, I don't know where we cut off, but like, you know, I think our followers, our audience will understand. What I wanted to say is I love your idea. At first, I thought it was like a find people to play sports with you near you kind of a thing, which is like,
yeah.
Which is also, for anyone listening that wants to make a startup, is also an app that should exist and has existed a billion times and everyone sucks at it and always fails and it always tanks.
Yeah.
Why is it 2020 and I can't go on my phone and play basketball with people in my area? It's the stupid.
Actually, we are fixing. We're actually adding that feature. So on this version, we're adding categories. So there is food categories, there is sport categories. So on the categories, you could post, be like, "Hey guys, I'm in this club or I'm in this basketball. Come in and join me." So people could come in and see it.
All I'm saying, dude, is anyone that can lock down that stupid app will make so much money because. What happens, and I've literally downloaded like 50 of them. Like, I think Zog Sports might have even added their own, or like, I don't even know what they did, but like, it's just like, dude, just give me courts and then meet up. Like, and then, like, I feel like LA has an app for it, and then like, it'll have like a third of LA as a startup region, and then it'll never expand, and then it just fails, or then like, it'll still be on the App Store 5 years later, but no one uses it kind of a thing. So I think that's huge. But your other idea is awesome because. It's not only applicable for cities, but I think you guys could eventually make it applicable for bars because I always am texting people, like, especially when I was in college, like, "Hey man, how's the bar scene? How's the bar scene?" And if I could like see people's videos, because what I'll do, not only bars, but also for cities, what I'll do is I'll manually go to Instagram to solve this problem and I'll go to a location. I'll go to that location's story and then I'll watch that story to see if it is working well.
But the see, that's too many clicks, Corey. That's like,
no, that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm telling you that this is amazing because it would solve what I already do in a very daunting manual way. And then, my way is very not effective.
Either. Yeah. Inefficient. Yeah.
Because people rarely put, like, I'll be like, how, like, are people at this, beach? I want to see if it's like popping or whatever. And then I'll go to it and it'll be like one family that tagged the beach happened to, but it could be,
that probably was 8 hours ago too.
Exactly. Like, it could have been packed, but I wouldn't know because no one else is tagging that beach.
And no one.
If you guys built this and it was like a common thing to like kind of post what's happening in the area along with events, along with activities, I think it'd be massive and I would definitely use it 100%.
For sure. Yeah. I'm going to give you a beta after the call so you could test it and let me know how you like it.
Yes.
Boom. For sure. Cool. Yeah. That's just the whole thing. That's what I've been working on Surfboard for 2 years now, because just knowing the potential of what it could do. One mistake I made on Surfboard is our first MVP we launched, it wasn't, because both of us could relate to it. There's this thing in the valley that they say, like, make your MVP not too fancy. Don't add any features in it. Just launch the bare minimum and see how much traction it got. To be honest, in my opinion, I think that model is not going to work anymore.
I think it's because dumb,
it is. Don't you think? Really, look what I just literally said. That thing, that back then, it used to work in 2003 and 2004, or like around then. But like nowadays, your MVP has to be a solid product. Otherwise, you're barely going to get no traction on it just because of how much people's expectation.
I'll actually argue with that. But I think we're thinking of the word MVP in different ways. I think your MVP, like for your internal MVP, like just so you can show investors and have like an app, like your MVP.
Oh, I call that prototype. I call that prototype.
Yeah, but yeah,
I
mean, yeah, yeah. yeah.
MVP, I meant by like the public for to use it, like literally the first iteration for public to jump on it and use it.
Yeah,
and I feel like that Juni hurted us a little bit early on because like our MVP or like our first version wasn't as good as we should have done compared to other apps that came in. So we knew that we're like, okay, we took L in there, we should have done a better job. So that's why we stick in this idea so much, because the idea itself has potential, but how you're going to design the product and make sure the product is perfect, that's a whole different conversation.
No, I agree. And I'll say, like, I heard the whole MVP thing 3 years ago when I've been working on this for like 5 years, but like 3 years ago, we were just a
marketplace. Oh,
wow. Yeah, we were just a marketplace. That's kind of why it took me so long, because I spent the first 3.5 years trying to launch a marketplace for programs. And then we finally launched it. Then I was like, oh crap, we should have built the CRM tool. And that's what we have now. But I mean, basically the first product that, oh, I think we lost them again, starting recording. Cool. But, yeah, so basically, what?
I can't hear her, bud.
But you guys can't hear each other. I can hear both of you.
America is getting DDoS. That's literally what's happening right now, dude. I had like 4 Google meetings today, all of them, which were bugging out when I had like full fucking speed Wi-Fi, and like, yeah, this is just, bro. Yes, dude, literally, I'm telling you, it's like, it's no joke. The whole DDoS attack on America is getting mad serious, bro. Like, yeah, my Google Meets today, my fucking, like, Zoom has been the only one that's been reliable, but it's been so laggy, it keeps cutting out. Even my phone calls have been, like, really all over.
I know, but, like, literally, for some reason, I just can't trust Zoom.
Because it's Chinese? Or, like, America's...
I know, call me crazy, but, like, I can't trust Zoom and TikTok.
Dude,
I mean, maybe that's, I don't want to be so specific on it, but that's a very solid statement right there by itself.
I think the problem is called TikTok, and I'm probably addicted to it. And, you know, if they keep...
No way, what in the world? I feel like US not, US gonna ban it for sure.
Chinese apps, man. It's wild.
Yeah. Because that is smart, bro. If India does something, like, these people are so high-key-wise, like, they're God. So, like, literally, that's for a reason. And
dude,
TikTok is not going to suck
in the
US. Premium
Zoomer content. You know, it's just so great. I can't stop watching.
You learn in all the dances and shit?
Yeah, no. I'm like, the algorithm has recognized.
I have nothing to do
with dance TikTok.
Nasty.
I was thinking about that, like in a dystopian future, or, you know, probably yesterday. I'm at like a WeWork in a co-working space, jamming out to my tunes, and I see a teenager with a camera stand recording The Renegade.
Is WeWork still alive?
I think they're taking
Renegade.
So I pivoted. Everyone listening, again, we got a little error, whatever. I pivoted to the CRM tool, but when I first launched, what I should have done is I should have done what every single person said, was like build like a very minimal MVP. So what I did instead was I built out this, I spent like 40 or 50 grand. It was like 8 months too late, which is like a fifth of my journey.
Wow.
And just like, I had like this developer and then this guy was doing this and then they couldn't figure out bug and me with no coding experience, I found the bug.
Dude, that's gonna put you in a corner, dude. These people, like, if you don't know coding and if you don't have technology, this developer is gonna shrink you for sure.
That's what happened, dude. I wasted 3 months of my life typing in hundreds of fitness plans,
and he was putting
in
hours working, bro, like at this restaurant just to make the money.
Oh, I know, bro. I know what you mean, bro. Like, literally, I know. Bro, like, honestly, God bless you, man. I know how hard that is. I've lived it. I've been on it. I know your pain.
And then I was the one with no coding knowledge. I found the bug. I went through their code. I couldn't read code, but I found, like, I messed with so many different features, and I was like, this is the code. And then they didn't believe me. So then I spent 2 more months rebuilding it, and then they launched again, and it didn't work again. Like, it wouldn't take our data and put it into the app. And then I was like, guys, this is the bug. And then he changed one line of code and then it worked. And so I was like, great, I just lost 6 months of my life because you put some one line of code. Yeah, dude, so.
Oh my God, it's insane. Bro, like, literally, this is a huge problem. This is a massive problem I face because this is my fifth year in startups, working with developers like almost every day. for the past 3 years, I've been like literally living with developers. The massive problem is here. And I literally thought about this and I came to this conclusion. Developers do not know product. They have zero clue how should the app work or how should a website work, how should a SaaS work. Doesn't matter what the product is. They don't think about product, and that's a massive problem. And that's why the bug exists, because these people just code. They don't do anything else.
I totally agree. And that, yeah.
And that's why it's a very red signal to me when, you know, you look at a seed or a series A startup and they have like no PM, you know?
And that's what I was just going to say, dude.
I don't know how can you scale.
Development's great now is because I've had a team in Ukraine for the last 3 years. Shout out StartupSoft. Absolutely love them. Basically I have a project manager always working out, we've switched a couple different times, but like she's on top of it. And so like it's always been a woman, but like she does a great job of communicating to our development team what I'm saying. And so like, had it not been for her, I wouldn't know what I'm doing. But like, yeah,
it is hard, man. Like it's so, that's just like one thing, like you have to pass as a startup. How are you going to pass this stage make sure your app is working perfectly fine, and especially going to market, because like it's extremely difficult just to build the app and make sure the app works well.
No, 100%. And that was the biggest problem with my MVP is I finally launched it and we put all this money into it and then it made us almost no money. I was like, oh, this, we tried building. So it's back to the original point. We tried putting everything that we ended up having 2 years later into it. And then just half-assed, like the social page was literally like a PDF pop-up almost of like a bio. And then like,
oh my God, bro, I know exactly what you are talking about. Yeah, like you literally click on one thing, the whole screen comes up and you cry. You're like, oh my God, that's been part of my life. I still go through it.
Yes, dude.
Yeah. Bro, this thing is so stressful. Like no one knows, especially being the founder and seeing how the app works. Okay, this is a problem. It's pain is like literally shoot me bullets already. You have this beautiful design, right? Like literally the design on Figma or Illustrator, doesn't matter. It looks beautiful. But when it comes to the coding, what you get at the end, you're like, what is this? Why aren't you testing it? Why aren't you just pushing this update for me to see? Why aren't you testing it before? And that's just a huge miscommunication.
Dude, and then to add on to that, so at that time, my developer was like some 18-year-old like whiz kid who had only built some nice apps before, but he had never built the app that I... So like it was a 50-50, like 50% him saying that he could do it, and then he definitely couldn't have done it, and then 50% me thinking that he could have done it, what I should have
done. Oh my God, so it was just like
a nightmare situation, but...
Oh my gosh, it's so crazy. Let me tell you this. So while I was working on Surfboard and designing the app, so we designed the first initial screen, just how it's going to look. So we founded this agency in India. They were about to charge us $7,000 to build it iOS and Android. We were like, wow, this is the best thing ever. How in the world these people are going to do it for this cheap? But we already know over 7 grand.
Jeez, 7 grand.
7D or 7?
Seven grand.
Oh yeah. That sounds about right. Yeah.
Yeah, so we paid that much. Oh my gosh, man. 2 months after the app, like literally the app was about to blow up the phone, not the app itself. The app almost burned this Android phone. Because on Android, when you're coding Android, you could damage the phone itself. But iOS, the only thing you could damage is the app. You're not going to touch the hardware outside the application.
The only thing you can damage is the CEO's confidence.
Yeah, like, man, oh my God. So these people took the money, we paid them 7 grand, they didn't even build it, they didn't even do anything, and they, at the end, they were about to sue us, man. Like, it was crazy. They're like, yeah, what? On the contract, we said 70 serious? Grand, not 7 grand. We're like, what in the world? Hell no. Yeah, I swear to God, man, this became a shit show, man, like, in the world. And then while we were going through that, we were raising money. So this investor actually ended up investing in us. So they wanted the IP of the codes. We're like, we don't even worry about that. We're just going to build it from scratch. Like, let it be. So we raised a bunch of money and we built an in-house team, and that sold.
Dude, that's, you know, this is a really interesting segue, because one of the things that I wanted to talk to you about, right, as immigrant founders, I mean, I came here just to America 5 years ago. And, you know, first there was the assimilation piece of it, to be able to be in a position where you can actually speak to people and they understand you. And second is we come in with zero network. Like, we literally know nobody. Like, I have no relatives.
Zero. You have negative. Not even zero. You have negative.
Yeah. Like, you know, you're starting from like five steps back. And it's when you're going on this fundraising journey, you know, you're a founder of color, you're an immigrant founder, you know, understanding how to pattern match to investors, building relationships and convincing them to write a check and take a bet on you is a whole different ballgame.
It
you know,
is.
And like,
it's very
how
difficult.
Did you approach that? And, you know, how many times did it take to pitch to finally get your first check?
Honestly, Farhaj, Corey, like, we, all of us, like, CEOs for life. Like, this is what we do. We are full-time CEOs and we all have raised money. The thing is, like, you know what I'm about to tell you. Like, the thing is, I genuinely think this is, some VCs might be upset here hearing this. But I genuinely think VC system, I'm going to answer your question, Farhaj, for sure.
Yeah.
But I genuinely think VC system is so broken. I'm very upset with how venture capitalist system is in America. And I'm going to tell you my reasons why. First is, people who are VC are not qualified to be a venture capitalist. These people never founded a company by themselves.
Call them out.
Yeah, these people never launched a company. They were never involved with a company. Out of school, they got a job in a VC firm because their dad or their mom probably got them in there. And eventually, they raised some money and now they are making bets. They're predicting which entrepreneur is going to win and going to lose. And out of those ones that they're just making rent is literally random bets they are making because they don't know what it takes to be an entrepreneur. And they just make a bet on an entrepreneur and somehow, some way that entrepreneur likely becomes to win. But like overall, there is million good entrepreneurs get left alone because of how broken the system is. The system that you have to know, you have to be friends with the VCs, you have to play the politics with them, and you just have to be white, you have to go to Harvard, you have to be in Silicon Valley to be part of this community for you to somehow to get funding. And to me, that's injustice and it is unfair. Literally last year, 97% of the whole money the venture capitalists raised total in Silicon Valley, 97% have been to Caucasian, only 3% have been to others. And that others is every other race.
I want to say that I didn't get a single cent of that, but I agree with that. That's super messed up. Because like personally, like Farhaj is definitely better at the whole VC thing than I am anyways. So, and I haven't raised like any VC money at all, but like we just need to get more traction, whatever. But even once we have traction, I'm like, dude, it just sounds like another job that like there's like drama and like you need to talk to this guy. Yeah, it's like,
hey, why has to be this? It's so broken. It's so broken. And the reason is broken because of how toxic the culture of Silicon Valley is. You have to go to Harvard, you have to go to Stanford, you have to be white, you have to be tall, you have to have blue eyes, you have to be an amazing public speaker. No. Literally, people look at all around the world, people who go out there and do massive things with their life, people like Steve Jobs who come there, change the world. If Steve Jobs was alive right now, he would probably get $0 in funding.
Yeah, I don't. It's
why?
Here's my thing, right? I agree and I disagree. I agree with the fact that systematically, you know, venture capital has been, for the large part, extremely inaccessible to founders of color and women. But the other thing that I disagree with is that, see, there is a gatekeeper philosophy. You know, Dell Johnson talks about this a lot. He wants to ban warm introductions because...
I really like Dell Johnson. Dell Johnson is the cool guy. Shout out to Dell Johnson.
Here's my thing, is when we look at the landscape of venture capital, right? A lot of the systemic oppression starts from the day somebody's born in America. And when we look at founders of color, primarily in underrepresented markets, the biggest problem is we're not as sophisticated as the guys coming out of the MBA at Stanford or the white guy who can go...
That's an opinion, though. That's what you might think, bro. Like, literally, because you're giving people no chance, though. You're giving these people no chance, though. Okay, look at yourself. In that theory, me and you should be left alone out of system. Me and you have no room to talk in this, if that's the case. You see, but no, like, people like me and you, people who go out there and do it, people who, like Corey, puts 5 years of his life into it regardless, and he will 100% succeed. To me, I'd rather make bets on us than make on someone who went to Stanford and his father is connected and, oh, he's going to fund the next podcast.
But what I'm saying is, you know, the metrics, the storytelling, the narrative, the ability to highlight how big a company can be and to showcase your traction in a way to where it's palpable to investors, to where it meets their expectations, to help them understand markets that they can't even fathom to understand, takes a specific kind of skill. And it takes a specific kind of skill.
Amen. I'm not saying that is not true. Color.
There are programs like Stitch Crew that's doing that. There's Beta Boom. But at scale, founders of color take a lot more time to raise institutional money because they don't have access to this education. It's being distributed.
I know, but that has to change, though. That is has to change. For one day, and that's soon, I want to fund my own startup. I want to fund my own VC firm. I want to fund my own VC firm and give. I'm only going to focus on entrepreneurs that are not born here, that have came here to this country with no one, because those people are going to change the world. To me, I'd rather make bets on that than just make a bet on make bets on Ryan, because Ryan went to Stanford and he can talk well. And he's all talk but no action. I'd rather make bets on you, Farhaj, and make bets on you, Corey, because I'm more confident that people who thrive and they're not going to give up, they are going to win. Just because you have this, I have this Excel list in front of me and I'll have to go by checklist. Oh, he went to Stanford, checklist. He can talk well, checklist. Oh, he has a mobile app, checklist. Here you are, $2 million for you. No, I can, you can go on that. And I bet you this, look at venture capital system in 2030. Is going to go to that path, I'm telling you. It's going to go on the personal side of it. Oh, wow, this person maybe is from Japan, or maybe this person is from Sri Lanka, but he's very good and goddamn good at what he does. Maybe let me put some $1 million in him and that person is going to change the world.
No, I totally agree. And I think it's bullshit, like not only what we were just talking about, but also people that come from like the financial world or from that background, it's like they'll just get money from these people. And then, like, for example, there was this guy that had raised millions of dollars in it. I'm not going to get too specific because he might listen to this episode, but like he'd raised millions of dollars. And then we were hopping on a call and I was like, oh, awesome. I'm going to get this, some great advice from this guy. I can't wait to talk. He's got like 30 employees or whatever.
Probably was a boring conversation too.
Well, no. We hopped on the call and he spent the whole time asking me what he should do for stuff. He's like, cause he loved like what I had done with my app. And he was like, how should I do this? And then that, and I was like, bro, you've got like 2 million in the bank. I've got like $3,000 in the bank. You've got 30 employees. And I was like,
you see, that's a whole,
I was like, oh, I got, you got,
I hate to.
Yeah.
It's so upsetting, right? Man. Here's the thing, right?
With all of it considered, I think the amazing thing that we can rely on is people like ourselves who believe in.
Yeah, it is. It definitely is.
And we're building inclusive ecosystems and making our time available to help people succeed. And one, this is what I'm most passionate about, is making sure the 2.5 years of hardship that I had to go through, if somebody gave me the right advice, I could have skipped.
Exactly.
If I knew what I did today.
Amen. Amen.
The
Amen.
Next founder of color, or the next person who doesn't have access to it. Right.
Amen. You got to do amazing, because if you can't see the change in the world, be the change. And that you have, that's always been my thing. Yeah, that's fine. Right now, time comes and time goes through. It's going to be the days we all raise million and million and million and make our company the next Apple and Google. And that time will come. If it's not this one, next one. But eventually, if you don't give up, you will do big. I'd rather to make bets on people like Jack Ma and Steve Jobs, who were so relentless of what they did and do good. And I know there is thousands of those people. Absolutely. And thousands of those people.
Just don't look, you know, old white dude and pale.
Hey, you guys, let's make a pact. If we all are rich in 5 years, we'll start Relentless VC. Boom. Is that what it's called?
Oh, thank you. Let's do it. We're going to name it Relentless VC.
That's a good ass name. And if you guys make a VC without me, I will sue you if you call it that. Boom.
I mean, hey, this is all being recorded, right?
This is no, but I totally agree. I think there's so many different. I just think there's just. I mean, there's a whole lot of judgment and racism in the world in general. But I think like it's becoming more and more like prevalent. I've never used that word in my life. That like it's like in the VC world for sure. Like I remember I was. It's like it's what college you went to, what race you're, all this stuff. It's like, dude, like, okay, like, just have a conversation with me. Like, I'm sorry, I didn't.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. And those VCs who just go on that, they're going to keep losing money over and over and over. Trust me, as much as you think they're really making money, just, okay, think about it. Let's say you only raise, let's say this is your first fund, right? You raise like 50, average, you're going to raise $50 or $10 million somewhere in there. Just the metrics you have, the bits you got, it's going to be extremely hard for you to raise a second fund. And as hard as it is to raise a second fund for your VC firm, as hard as it is to make the third fund, you have to go with the strategy. You have to look back at the system, who is winning, who has won over history. Not just like technology is a new thing, but what is about life is history repeats itself. Go look at over a million years ago of people who have won big things in life, people who changed life, and go look at where they came from. People who change world, people who have done phenomenon in their life, they didn't grow up with gold spoon in their hands. They came from nothing. They went through life, they struggled, they learned, they were curious, they asked good questions, they had good mentors. And that thing will never get away from human. It doesn't even matter in 500 years, a kid's going to born from nothing, going to do something astonishing in his life. History repeats itself. Look at all these massive athletes. These athletes didn't... The fathers were in LeBron James, but like some massive athlete that had tremendous opportunity and resource to give him. It was all from people from nothing.
Man, it's amazing. And, you know, recently I had the opportunity, and I'm pretty sure I heard about you follow him, but Nate Jones from Andreessen Horowitz just launched a talent opportunity fund.
Yes, he's good. He's very, very good.
Yeah, so he was talking and he said something, you know, he said there's geniuses in the hood and I'm going to prove that they can return the whole damn fund.
Look at Kanye, look at Jay-Z. Like these people, exactly. Jay-Z would have raised $0. Jay-Z would have probably got kicked out of that VC firm, be like, bro, you're gonna wasting our time.
You think Sequoia Partners would take a meeting with him? Hell no.
Like imagine like him going there. Yeah, you see, this is like you're gonna keep.
But now look at where
he is. Yeah, like these people would have raised not even a dollar. They would have not even gotten an email to send it to this VC partners. But like, To me, that's a flop, and it's slowly fading away every day by every day. And what I like about the previous event is the Black Lives Matter movement, and a lot of VC firms got called out. Insane.
I was just gonna say, that was really good for the VC world because people are like on Twitter. People are, I'm just like, oh, just like waiting for the next one to get called out.
It is. Let these people get called out because they don't know. They are so selfish. Unfortunately, they don't know what they are causing. They are like, excuse my language. They're like, how can we fuck over these people over and over? It's all about us. It's all about us. They care about no one. Yeah. And that things they don't know what they're really doing. Look at the toxic culture they are making. And there is, doesn't matter what system, doesn't matter what it is, time will change things. And this VCs will change for sure.
Hey, man, well, you know, I just got to say, I could not agree with you more again and again and again and again. And, you know, I'm really excited for the future of general partners, black and brown, Hispanic, Latino from all over the world that are starting funds that have the intention to deploy capital in underrepresented entrepreneurs and from underestimated cities. And I think they're going to prove that, you know, their thesis of the world is so right. And then that a lot of people should have been paying attention for a long time. So.
Oh yeah, for sure. It's just like a matter of time, things will change, and it will change for
absolutely,
sure.
Absolutely, man. I totally agree. I'm the 97% that somehow hasn't gotten any money yet. So I'm just going to take a step out.
Hey, man. I mean, I have the secret for you. You gotta keep going. Never, ever give up. And that's the secret to raise money. Like, literally, like, I personally raised over $1 million in my startup career. And the only advice I have is, like, man, keep going. Don't get discouraged by these no's that VCs tell you. They don't really know
and
that
And find
much.
Investors.
They don't, they just, like...
Find investors who you can call find, on the worst day.
Go find entrepreneurs. Go find entrepreneurs. There are like so many rich people in this world. Like they don't even care about what's going on in VC world. This person has a restaurant. He's probably making millions and millions every year. Go pitch your business to those people. People, there is people have car washes. Yeah. Literally, go bring them as angels, and those people gonna get you somewhere because those people came from nothing. Yeah. They probably have $1 million restaurants or $1 million business or $1 million coffee shops. And go pitch your business to them and they're going to give you money because they love to support others who doing the same thing they were doing 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago.
I couldn't agree more. That's mainly what I've been doing, to be honest, because I mainly haven't gone the VC route. But we're going to...
Yeah, you probably don't even have to. Literally, they're going to help you and make you succeed so much in life.
We're gonna wrap this up because we've talked way too long, and Farhaj has a call or something. I don't even know what he's doing. Who cares?
No, I'm just... I believe, yeah.
This was seriously...
Corey's just trying to out me for no reason.
No. That wasn't like...
I'm just kidding, bro.
I made fun of you earlier. This was like a legit, like he does need to do something, but... But Herbal, this was so awesome having you on here, man.
Brother, it was amazing. We're gonna stay connected for sure.
Yeah, I'm just telling Corey to come down to Dallas and we can show him a good time.
Dude, you should. We're gonna have a great time for sure.
I mean, you know, once all of this settles down, of course.
Yeah, I'm not trying.
I think, you know, I can grab of course, him down there. He can catch a flight, and then we can spend a couple of days, you know, hitting the streets.
Down, dude.
For sure, amazing. I'm so excited. I'm in different.
All right, man. Herbal, well, we need you to do one thing. How do we find you? What are your handles? And yeah, take it away.
All right. So all the handles on all social media is Herbat Big Van. My handle on Surfboard is James Bond. I love James Bond. So I'm going to stick that handle.
That's dope.
Your emoticon should just be like a van with Herbat on it, I think would be.
Yeah. Take that.
I think that would be.
Is the worst joke I've heard all month. Corey.
I'll design it for you. Cool, man. So awesome having you on the show. Can't wait to stay connected. I'm down for that Dallas trip because I love Dallas. And
for sure. You're welcome, brother.
So great, man. Yeah, I'll give you a shout sometime this weekend and we can catch up here, bud. But
awesome. Let's do it. We're definitely gonna catch up. Yeah, I'm gonna message
you for
sure.
Thanks for making the time, and I am so excited for the future of Surfboard. I have a feeling it's going to be
for sure. Same as all of you, because we all three of us got bright and beautiful future ahead of us. Just let's keep going. And one day we're going to look at this podcast, be like, wow, our heads were right in the place. We all in a good track for sure.
Boom. Surfboard. Absolutely. All right. Boom. All right, guys. Thanks everyone so much for tuning in to the Building Fires podcast.
Yeah, man. We're planning on dropping episodes every Monday, talking to some amazing guests and giving you the content you deserve.
Boom. Farhaj and I are so grateful for you guys. I can edit this.
I know.
Farhaj and I are so grateful for all of your support. If you can, please leave 5 stars and a review on your podcast app, whichever one you use. Farhaj and I would definitely appreciate it. I'm trying to get our little podcast SEO up.
Yeah, man. Well, you know, looking forward to seeing you next week, and we're excited to make... Ugh, 1 second. Looking forward to seeing you next week. We got some exciting guests for you.
Boom.
Guests for you.
Like guests for you.
You scurvy curs. Boom. Arr. Boom.